The Womanity Project. Let's talk about gender. Gender equality. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Womanity Project Live. I'm Aurélie Harp.
And I'm Celine Rosenthal, and you're listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Last week, we had the pleasure to interview Andrea Owen, a beautiful long lady living in Brooklyn. And we talked about hair.
Long hair, short hair, and shaved hair specifically. Andrea shaved her head a few years ago and was open enough to tell us what it feels like for her, how it freed her from conforming to what society tells us women should look like.
This week, we are continuing with Andrea. She told us about her journey from being a girl who was afraid to fail to a woman ready to travel on her own.
What gender do you affiliate with?
Oh, I certainly affiliate as a female. Happy to be, and I love talking about feminist things. I think it's important. And I wish that we didn't necessarily have a divide, like there needed to be a gender to specify everything. I think everyone should be equal, even if we have our differences in beliefs and faiths. We're still all human, and I don't think there should be a gap to separate us and divide us and put us in groups. So we can pick apart each other and figure out what we like and what we don't like, versus just being unified and have unity. That's what I prefer to see as gender.
What are the attributes you would define or characterize as being a female?
Being a female? I think the first thing that comes to mind is that to endure, to have that endurance. Because as women, we automatically, regardless if we want to or not, I feel like we wear a lot of hats. We wear the hats of a mother. We're a nurse, we're a therapist, we're a nurturer, we're all those things without us even necessarily wanting them, but I feel like we are more qualified to do it. And as women, we can take on so much more than I think the average person, not just because we can give birth, but just because we have, I think, far more responsibilities than people give us credit for.
Do you have any memories or stories that when there was a moment in your life when you were like, I really feel that I have to endure?
Just growing up in general, just going through childhood and from elementary school through high school, and you know, high school is such a challenge. And for me personally, I felt so overwhelmed to, you know, impress my family, impress my parents, because both of my parents were educated. They went to college and they graduated. So they went to universities and, you know, they got great degrees and they had successful careers, or they have successful careers. And I kept thinking, okay, I don't want to let them down. I need to have a good career too. I have to graduate to, you know, go to the university. I have to do great on the SATs. And I put a lot of pressure. And I had a little bit of depression at one point where I thought, okay, I can't do it. It's just too much. I'm not smart enough. I'm never going to be as good enough as them or my peers in school who were doing excellent, who were getting high SAT scores, you know, graduating at the top of the class. And I think that was one of the darkest moments that I can remember, and that was so early on in my life. I remember, like, I had hair on my side, and it was thinning, and I remember my dad, or my mom, one of the two, asked me, like, what's going on? Are you stressed? And I was like, no, I'm fine, and that's what I told them. Instead of saying, yes, I'm stressed, but my hair was thinning on the side, and I knew something was going on that never happened before.
Andrea says that she put a lot of pressure on herself while growing up, thinking she was never good enough. Not smart enough.
This feeling of being not enough or insufficient, not recognizing your worth, is linked to the notion of perfectionism.
Something the amazing researcher and storyteller Brené Brown identified as one of the main problems in our society. This is how she described it to Oprah Winfrey on the Super Soul Sunday on OWN Network.
Perfectionism. What emerged for me in the data was that perfectionism is not about striving for excellence or healthy striving, which I'm for.
Yeah.
It's a cognitive behavioral process, a way of thinking and feeling that says this: if I look perfect, do it perfect, work perfect, and live perfect, I can avoid or minimize shame, blame, and judgment.
I kept it hidden because I didn't want to necessarily draw attention to myself. I didn't verbalize it. I didn't say, you know, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm smart enough. I didn't say anything. I just internalized it myself. I kept it to myself. I'm a big thinker. Like, I think all the time. My mind is constantly going. And even though I'm thinking it, no one else, I don't express it, everything I think. So So outwardly, I may appear that, you know, everything's good, but inwardly it could be different. And so I didn't verbalize that to my parents or anyone. I just kind of dealt with it myself, and that's how I pretty much handled it. So they had no knowledge. I guess if they listen to this today, then they'll say, oh, I never knew. So, yeah.
Andrea told us that this was the very first time she was talking about this, that to this day, even her parents don't know.
This is a perfect demonstration of the destructive power of shame. I think a lot of people, women especially, can identify with feeling like somehow you don't fit or don't live up to a certain standard. And then what makes it even worse is the fear that this supposed inadequacy will become known. So we don't talk about it. And you begin to get so good at hiding the symptoms of it that even your family and friends might have a hard time seeing that something is wrong.
That's exactly what happened to me when I went through an eating disorder as a teenager. I realized that it is easy to blame your parents or your friends for not saying or doing anything. But I also realized that I was my worst enemy by becoming an expert on hiding the elephant in the room. I thought what was going on in me was so obvious. But now that I'm a mother, I realize how difficult it is to see things when the person, and especially a person you love, is not verbalizing. Mm.
So we were talking about shame and vulnerability, and it brought up some questions for us. We wondered, how is our experience of shame related to how we're treated in society? And is there a factor to do with gender specifically?
We asked Andrea more about her family. Turns out, she has two older brothers, and she's the baby sister. According to her, the experience seemed a lot different from hers.
Do you think that something your brother felt the same? How were they at school?
They both graduated, and they're both very successful today. Nothing that they showed me that they were, you know, having a hard and difficult time. They seemed to, you know, do well. They enjoyed it. I had one brother, he played collegiate basketball, so he was very successful in that. And to my knowledge, they did well, and they didn't show anything sort of apprehension in that process or anything.
So in your rapport with them, like, that's not the kind of thing you would talk about ever?
No, we never talked about
it. Do you think it's something that is mostly attributed to women?
Shame feels the same for men and women, but it's organized by gender. For women, shame is do it all, do it perfectly, and never let them see you sweat. Shame for women is this web of unattainable, conflicting, competing expectations about who we're supposed to be. And it's a straitjacket. For men, shame is not a bunch of competing, conflicting expectations. Shame is one. Do not be perceived as what? Weak. I did not interview men for the first 4 years of my study, and it wasn't until a man looked at me one day after a book signing and said, I love what you have to say about shame. I'm curious why you didn't mention men. And I said, I don't study men. And he said, that's convenient. And I said, why? And he said, because you say to reach out, tell our story, be vulnerable. But you see those books you just signed for my wife and my three daughters? I said, yeah. They'd rather me die on top of my white horse than watch me fall down. When we reach out and be vulnerable, we get the shit beat out of us. And don't tell me it's from the guys and the coaches and the dads. Because the women in my life are harder on me than anyone else. So I started interviewing men and asking questions. And what I learned is this. You show me a woman who can actually sit with a man in real vulnerability and fear, I'll show you a woman who's done incredible work. You show me a man who can sit with a woman who's just had it. She can't do it all anymore. And his first response is not, I unloaded the dishwasher. But he really listens. Because that's all we need. I'll show you a guy who's done a lot of work. Shame is an epidemic in our culture. And to get out from underneath it, to find our way back to each other, we have to understand how it affects us and how it affects the way we're parenting, the way we're working, the way we're looking at each other.
Well, certainly I feel like as women we're more emotional. And I think we can, you know, we look at things a lot more in an emotional way than maybe a man would. I have no reason why I would put so much pressure on myself thinking, I think I was just afraid that, okay, now I'm getting to be an adult. You know, I want to be successful. I want to thrive in life like anybody would. And I think I just the fear of going out into the world, because I'd always been at home. I've always lived at home. And then once going away to college and to graduate school, you know, it's now everything is on me. It's my responsibility.
And that's what this conference to me is about. That's what life is about daring greatly, about being in the arena. When you walk up to that arena and you put your hand on the door and you think, I'm going in and I'm going to try this, shame is the gremlin who says, uh-uh, you're not good enough. You never finished that MBA. Your wife left you. I know your dad really wasn't in Luxembourg. He was in Sing Sing. I know you. Those things that happened to you growing up. I know you don't think that you're pretty enough or smart enough or talented enough or powerful enough. I know your dad never paid attention, even when you made CFO. Shame is that thing. And then if we can quiet it down and walk in and say, I'm going to do this, we look up and the critic that we see pointing and laughing 99% of the time is who? Us. Shame drives two big tapes, never good enough. And if you can talk it out of that one, who do you think you are? The thing to understand about shame is it's not guilt. Shame is a focus on self. Guilt is a focus on behavior. Shame is, I am bad. Guilt is, I did something bad. How many of you, if you did something that was hurtful to me, would be willing to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake? How many of you would be willing to say that? Guilt. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Shame. I'm sorry, I am a mistake. There is a huge difference between shame and guilt. And here's what you need to know. Shame is highly, highly correlated with addiction, depression, violence, aggression, bullying, suicide, eating disorders. And here's what you even need to know more. Guilt, inversely correlated with those things.
You're listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn.
It's time to take a break. We'll leave you with Amy Winehouse, You Know I'm No Good.
Meet you downstairs in the bar, your rolled up sleeves and your skull t-shirt. You said, why did you do with him today? He'll snuff me out like I was tinkering. Cause you're my fella, my guy. Tell me your Stella and fly. By the time I'm out the door, you tear me down like Rosemore. I cheated myself. Like I knew I would. I show you I was trouble. You know that I'm no good. Upstairs in bed with my ex-boy. He's in no place, but I can't get joy. Thinking of you in the final throes. This is where my budget goes. I run out to meet your tears and better.
Amy Winehouse. I wish there were a musical on her.
Noted, noted.
Absolutely. You're listening to The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn with Aurélie Harp.
And Celine Rosenthal. So, we've been talking about Andrea Owens, discussing confidence, or lack thereof, and how that experience is related to gender.
We heard Brené Brown saying that life is about daring greatly. Now, Andrea is 34, all grown up. Let's hear how, quote, she managed to fight through.
I graduated from the university. I graduated from graduate school thinking that I wasn't smart enough, that I was never going to make it, you know, to that level that I felt of success. And then here I am today as a chiropractor. I've lived overseas in Europe and in Asia. Now I'm back here in New York, working in New York and living here and starting my life here. And I can only imagine what would have happened if I would have given up and said, you know what, maybe I can't do it. And I had to will my way to get where I am today. If you would have maybe spoken to me 5 years ago, I couldn't say any of this. I wouldn't have even said, no, talk to me at all. I don't want to do this interview or anything. I would be too nervous. I certainly didn't have the confidence or anything to even verbalize and to say this. But today, I walk up my head up and I'm, you know, I know that I can do it now. I don't have any doubts. If there's something I want to do, I go out and do it. If there's something I want to have, I put myself in that position to get it.
And that's what she did. Literally. She traveled abroad, and she did it alone.
I did it alone. When, you know, I packed up and I moved abroad, and I didn't know anyone. I didn't know the language, but I went to a different country. And you were forced to grow up. If you were a weak person, you had to grow up immediately because you were in a different world. You couldn't run home or run to someone's house to help you because you're in a place and it forces you to, in that moment, to be able to handle whatever situation comes your way. And me living abroad for, I think, almost, it was probably close to almost 5 years, that in that time, I don't know, something grew in me, just being in a different culture and being able to adapt and to live and to succeed. And I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm doing this. It was just the other day, I was back home in Florida in a small town. Now here I am in Amsterdam, in a huge place, or, you know, Kuala Lumpur or Singapore. And I'm doing these great things, meeting these great people and changing lives, you know. So that you can't help but grow and change from whatever you were before to something better.
Traveling makes you grow. You know, like Homer's The Odyssey. The quest to become a man.
Or woman.
A woman. It's funny, because traveling for me was already a feminist act. I wanted to go abroad so badly on my own, where the boys could go, where it was considered dangerous for women. I even remember not telling my mother when I went to Cambodia.
I felt the same back in 2006 when I moved to India, and later when I traveled to other countries on my own, countries that quite frankly scared the crap out of my mother, like Brazil or Malaysia, Qatar. I got myself into some pretty scary situations being a woman alone. But in the end, I believe it made me a stronger person.
Oh, absolutely. Funny for me, I discovered that I was European, then French, but primarily a woman, sometimes feeling limited, but overall more grounded and very aware of my vulnerability because of my gender. But let's go back to Andrea.
When I moved back after I was abroad, and I moved back to the U.S., and it was in 2014, early 2014 or late 2013, one of the two. And I don't know, coming back, moving back to the U.S., coming back home, I don't know. It's like I had a new life, that I had a new spirit that grew in me. And then I said, you know what? I'm never going to go back to those dark places where I was before. I'm just going to, my brother and I have a word and we say forward. And we say, no matter what, you're always going forward. And we tell that to each other. He'll text me if I tell him something happened today or if he tells me something happened, and I'll put a hashtag in forward and I'll send it to him. And we get each other that way and we know what that means. You know, forward, no matter what.
Forward,
no matter what.
That's powerful.
It really is. It's inspiring.
During the whole interview, Andrea was talking from her heart, and she reminded me exactly why we started the Womanity Project, right? To have a true conversation.
Right.
To not be afraid to share our own vulnerability. To take the risk to be yourself and to be strong no matter what.
So thank you, Andrea, for being vulnerable and for opening up and for being the strong, badass lady that you are. Today we've talked about women and perfectionism and shame and the power of vulnerability. And we wanted to hear from you back at home. We were wondering, have you ever felt like you weren't enough? Was there ever a situation that you were put in where you felt that there was something insurmountable that you needed to kind of crack open your vulnerability in order to overcome it?
And if not yourself, do you hear your daughter? Do you hear your sister? Do you hear anyone around you? And it can be men, because now men feel the same as well. It's not only women.
Of course. So please write to us, share with us, like us on Facebook. You can follow us, Orly.
Yes, you can like us, you can tweet us, you can go on Instagram, on Facebook, on Twitter, I said, and it's at Womanity Project. And you can also support us, support the radio, Radio Free Brooklyn, and make donations to www.radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. And you can as well go on our page, The Womanity Project, and give donations if you want. We would be thrilled to have donations and continue this program thanks to you.
And you can check out our awesome video trailer from our film project, edited by the lovely Melissa Pinsley and Franklin Zitter.
Oh yes, because The Womanity Project is going to come to you with videos and more interviews and more stories to share.
So, thank you. Thank you to Mick O'Connor. Thank you to Lizzie Hagstedt. Thank you to Andrea Owens, and of course, thank you to Radio Free Brooklyn. Coming next, Sin Smith Radio Theater Collage.
Tune in next week, The Womanity Project on Radio Free Brooklyn, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time.
Now we'll leave you with one of Andrea's power songs by Frantagram, Blackout Days.